you have your Bibles this morning, please find, if you would, the 11th chapter once again of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 will be our text today as we are approaching the end of our study on this book. And appreciate so much your faithfulness as you have come week after week. I trust that God has used this book in your life as he has used this book in my life. I find that when my worlds are colliding, much like Solomon's worlds were colliding, I've been able to come back to the book of Ecclesiastes and sit under the instruction of the preacher and find in that instruction wonderful comfort and wonderful peace. Last week, we've began the part of this study, which is the summation of Solomon at the end of his experiment, as he's been trying to find profit in life or the meaning of life to see if it can exist apart from God. We understand that Solomon has found that and made the description that when you strip God out of life, life does seem to take on a vanity. Life can seem vain, futile, confusing, cruel. It can seem heartless and pathetic and mundane and all of those things. But Solomon realizes that just because something seems one way does not make it true. And so Solomon has known that his perspective now, as it has gone to the point of vexation, has been influenced by his understanding or his position of trying to find the meaning of life apart from God. And so he began last week in this summation and began to teach us how to live our lives, that life may seem vain, but really and truthfully, life is a gift of God, from God. Life is not meant to carry a vanity. Life is meant to carry a victory and an excitement and an enthusiasm. Let me explain something to you. You were created by the living God. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Not only were you created by the living God, you've been saved by the living God if you know the Lord, and you're a child of God. He has a purpose. He has a plan for your life. Sadly, even some Christians never fully realize the plan that God has for their life, nor do they understand the joy of the Lord in this life, nor do they understand how life works. And so last week, in the beginning of his summation, Solomon began to teach us that life is an adventure, really and truthfully. He talked about the ultimate frontier of our life is faith, to live by faith. And to the Christian who walks and lives by faith in the Lord and according to his word, life has a thrill. It has an adventure. Every day, every moment has a purpose. We understand that there's a plan that God has for our lives. I would take that one of the strong lessons from the book of Ecclesiastes ought to be that you understand that God has a specific plan for your life. And you ought to understand that you desire and the best of your life will be according to that plan. And you want to live your life according to God's faithful and wonderful plan that he has for you. The reason that the Christian life can become mundane is because most of God's people are not living or walking by faith. And faith is that ultimate frontier that appropriates the victory of God in our life. Pastor, what is faith? Boy, you hear all kinds of definitions about faith. The Bible gives a great one in the book of Hebrews. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Most people think that faith is just a leap in the dark. I hope that's not your definition of faith. Some people believe that faith is just, you know, going forward when you can't see anyway, or you just kind of step out in the dark or step out on a ledge or whatever. No, 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 no. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is not you just blindly following something. Faith is not you just stepping out and hoping everything is going to work out okay. Faith is you simply trusting God and His Word. Okay? So I don't have to turn all the lights out for us to exercise faith. Faith is a step in the light of God's Word. So this is what God's Word says. I know that God's Word is true. I know it is without error. I know it is eternal. I know it is the living Word. I know that I can trust it. So whatever this Word says in my life, whether it be in a positive way or a negative way, or whether it be in a forward way or a standstill, whatever this Word says, this is what I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust it over what you say. I'm going to trust it over what my neighbor says. I'm going to trust it over what the world says or media says or Hollywood says. I'm going to trust it over what the circumstances say. I'm going to trust it even over what I think or what my opinion is. Even Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs that we do not lean on our own understanding. A vital part to your Christian growth is getting to the point where you realize that you cannot trust your own understanding. I'm going to say that again. A vital part to your Christian growth and your Christian walk is when you get to the place where you don't trust your own understanding. That doesn't mean that you don't have intellect or you don't have a brain and you got to use it. It just means this. If any man lack wisdom, let him do what? Ask of God. So you come to the place where you realize that you're not a know-it-all. You don't have all the answers about your own life or else. And I come to the place where I begin to not only realize I need, but treasure and value the wisdom that God has for me and for my life. And so this is where Solomon brought us in our walk by faith last week. And this week, he's teaching us, as I have outlined in the bulletin or put the title in the bulletin, he's really going to teach us about our lives, the brevity of our life, and he wants us to understand that life flies by. I put as the title of the message that time is flying by. I don't know about you, but time seems to go faster every day. And I can't get it to stand still. I can't get it to go backwards. And really and truthfully, if there's one part about my life that I don't seem to be able to get a grip on, it's time. And time just keeps marching forward. And so Solomon is getting ready to teach us today about our lives. He's going to teach us that in his summation, not only is life to be an adventure that I walk by faith, but life is also a gift and it's meant to be enjoyed. And in order for us to enjoy our life, we have to realize how valuable our life is. By the way, life is precious. Value life. This is going to sound weird. Don't freak out. I'm not weird. And I'm not an environmentalist. And I'm not against, and I'm not a nature lover. But oh, this is horrible. I shouldn't even tell you this. I stopped killing animals when I don't have to. You mean you used to kill animals when you didn't have to? Yeah. The other day, there was this big, big, huge spider that had, I mean, the thing was this big. And it had spun a web. There's a power wire or a cable wire that runs from the pole to our house. And it had spun a web. Is your mom in here? No, okay. It spun a web to Beverly's car. And I walked around the corner and man, that thing was huge right there. And my first instinct was to kill it. My next instinct was if I don't kill it and Beverly finds it, she's going to kill me. But I didn't kill it. I just kind of, okay, it's a beautiful spider. I was digging in the yard the other day and a snake came out. Black snake. If you hate snakes, you love God. Okay? Normally, I'd kill that sucker. But I stopped. I didn't kill it. I just looked at it from a distance. And I let it slither on by, and it went off into the bushes. Why? Because I've been reading in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I kind of have realized that all life is a gift of God. Life is precious. Now, I'm okay. Let's go shoot a hog. Let's go shoot a deer. Let's go eat something. I catch a fish. I was reading on Facebook the other day, and somehow they have measured how fish feel pain. Did anybody else see that? That was an attempt and a hatred speech against us fishermen is what that was. I understand you start filleting those fish. If they're alive, the tail flops up. They feel pain. You'd feel pain if we filleted you. But they taste great. So God's given man dominion, and so we're able to do some things. But life is precious. And you ought to value life. Teach your kids to value life. I'm kind of cautious now on what kind of television shows we watch. Be careful about what kind of video games you let your kids play. Any video game that doesn't value life should not be played by your kid. Any video game that shoots our police officers ought not to be played by your kid. Any life. Now, if you don't believe that God created life, and then you may not value life as much as what the Bible teaches. But Solomon's teaching us how to value life. This is the sixth time in this text where Solomon is admonishing us to accept life as a gift and learn to enjoy it. Now, I want you to look, if you would, real quick. I didn't do this at 8:30, but I need to do it here. I want you to look at verse number 9 of chapter 12. And moreover, because, this is our text next week. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, speaking of Solomon, he still did what, class? He taught the people. Now, you got to understand, this is what Solomon's burden is at this moment. Solomon has understood that when you strip life or God out of life, life's going to seem vain. But the reality is life is not vain. If God is in it, life is not vain in the Lord. And you can learn that. But now he's burdened with this desire to teach. And he wants to teach others what God has instructed him. And so as he's doing that, he's getting ready to teach us how verse number 7 of chapter 11 says. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. What is he saying there? He's saying it's great to be alive. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. For they shall be what? Many. Okay? All that cometh is vanity. Now, what is Solomon doing here? Solomon is expressing that it's great to be alive. And life is a little unpredictable, yes, and life does have risks. And man, you could live many years and you can rejoice, but there will be dark days, there will be hard times, there will be those moments. There is a part that is a vanity that will come to life, but still life is a gift and life is meant to be enjoyed. And so Solomon now goes back, and he wants to teach the next generation. I want to say this too. Do you care about the next generation? We need to care about the next generation. So I'm going to ask every man in this room, if you just look at your pastor a second. Sir, what are you doing to develop the generation that is behind you in your realm of responsibility? It is your responsibility, sir, to lay a foundation that your family, your friend, your circle of influence will follow or can follow. And so we must have a burden for the next generation. I would say to Plantation Baptist Church, we better have a burden for the next generation. I don't want to get to the end of my time of pastoring here. And I don't want to get to the end where we're all old and gray or so on. And we leave a gap between the next generation. That's why I'm so excited about what God's doing in our youth and our young people and in our college age people. And I can see them loving the same Jesus we love. I rejoice in that. I see them loving the same Bible that we love. I rejoice in that. I see them singing in the choir. I see them serving and teaching. And what are we doing? We're developing and laying that pathway for the next generation. And so Solomon, looking back now, goes to the young people of the generation, and he wants to teach them. And he wants to teach them something that's so counter culturalism. It's so counter to the culture in which he lives in. And so here's Solomon. He's watched a society trying to find a meaning of life apart from God. He even came over into this perspective. His worlds are colliding. He understands that there is a vexation in this, and he wants to help the young people understand that life doesn't have to be like that. Life can be sweet and complete in Jesus. So he goes back. There's three R's that are my outline. Every preacher that's ever preached this passage have used the same three R's. Verse number 9 gives you the first point. You see the word rejoice there? Highlight it, underline it, circle it. Point number 1, he'll tell you if you're going to enjoy life, you must rejoice. Verse number 10, you see the word that starts with R there? It's remove. Highlight it, underline it, circle it, do something. Rejoice, remove, and then let your eyes fall on verse number 1 of chapter number 12, and you see the word remember. These are the three points. Solomon says, if you want to enjoy life, and you want to understand that the gift of God in your life, and you want to be blessed in that, then you better be able to rejoice, you better be able to remove, and you better be able to remember. Now he goes back and he teaches the young people this. Verse number 9 of chapter number 11. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, say his name, God will bring thee into judgment. Solomon especially wants to instruct the young people here to take advantage of the days of their youth. He's not suggesting that young people don't have problems, but he is suggesting that youth is an opportunity. And youth is an opportunity before the days of darkness begin to develop as you live your life. And so Solomon now is understanding that work must be done in our youth as we go forward. And so he's instructing the young people to go after their heart, let their heart cheer them, to walk in the ways of their heart and in the sight of their eyes. He's saying, listen, enjoy your youth. You only get it once. And he says, In your youth, there's where you should know the freedom of your heart. In your youth is where your vision ought to burn bright. In your youth is when you ought to know the hand of God or the calling of God. In your youth, you ought to think there's nothing you can't accomplish. Then when you get old, you can't remember what that was supposed to be. And Solomon is encouraging and instructing the young people in this way. He wants them to walk in the ways of their heart, to be cheered on by their spirit. Man, listen, if you go out and you look at the youth of our nation today, there's not a lot of cheering in their heart. When I was growing up, it was gothic. Does anybody know what I mean by gothic? They dressed in black. You remember that? And now, I mean, just it's not even addressed the way that our young people do. Now it's what they pose as, what they take in, what they do. I mean, the mentality of our young people is not very encouraging or cheerful or joyful. And now they're knowing sorrow. I'm going to talk about that in verse number 10. Sorrow that runs deep, man. I mean, deep into their soul. Sorrow that you and I never really experienced as to the vanity of life. And young people are asking the question, is it even worth living? Jesus would tell you, he's worth living. So Solomon says, man, rejoice in thy youth. Now he's not talking about sowing their wild oats. He's not telling them that they can go and do whatever they want to do. He's saying the best way for a young person to know cheer in his heart, drive in his vision, and joy in his life is to understand the submission to the authority of God in his life. Listen, there is truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. And there is an authority to our lives. And Solomon says, learn as a young person to submit yourself to God. Be saved early in life. Understand that God has a plan for you. Understand that the will of God is where you want to live. In your youth, know that. Young people, I guarantee you there's a lot of older people out here that carry deep wounds and deep scars from choices they made, because all choices have consequence. If that's you and you carry that, would you just let the young people know that by saying amen? Solomon is wanting to spare you that. Paul told us in the book of Timothy that God does give us all things richly to enjoy, but there's nothing like enjoying all things under the authority of our precious Savior. Guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Solomon says, you want to enjoy your life? Begin in your youth. Learn to rejoice in your youth. Joy only happens in the Lord. Let me talk to my young people just a second. I almost want to make you stand. I do want to make you stand. So give me your in college all the way through to the sixth grade. Would you stand up? Wow. Wow. In the balcony here, I'm standing in my heart, but I'm older than that. All right, look at your pastor just a second. Oh, I thought Leon was standing up for good measure. Don't worry, I'm getting to the old people. You don't have to get all excited. Nobody loves you like God loves you. Nobody. Nobody has a plan for your life like God has a plan for your life. I understand your worlds will collide. When you leave this building and you leave your home and you go into the workplace, you go into your schools and you go around the world is going to take everything they have and they're going to make it just look stunning and beautiful and shining and glimmering and glistening. And they're going to present to you that their life has no problems. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The God of this world is Satan. The Bible talks about that. And the Bible says that Satan is the father of all lies. And he will do whatever he can to destroy you. He will do whatever he can to persuade you to go his direction. Make the choice in your youth to know and love and serve the Lord. You will never get this time back in your life. Girls, there's only two men you should be listening to right now in your life. One is your dad, who's teaching you this book. And the other one is Jesus, who gave his life for you. Don't give those boys what doesn't belong to them. Don't go that way. Men, the world's going to tell you what they think a man is. They're going to take people like me and they're going to call me out of touch, hateful, all these things. They're going to tell you that your godly dad and your godly mom are just wanting to control you and do all of these things. But listen to me. It's your dad and your mom that prays for you every night. It's your dad and your mom that would take a bullet for you. It's your dad and your mom who would go to hell for you. Nobody loves you more than that. Men, the Bible tells what a man is. And a true man is one that loves the Lord with all his heart, mind, and his soul. Make the choice in your youth. Solomon would beg you to make the choice in your youth. We love our young people, don't we? Yeah. All right, you can be seated. So let me help you with this. Look at verse number 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. He's telling them that your youth is going to go fast. So as you make this choice that I'm going to submit myself to the authority of the Lord, I'm going to be saved, I'm going to love the Word of God, I'm going to walk according to the Word of God, and I'm going to let the Spirit of God fill me. Then what you've got to do is you've got to realize that you're going to be old before you know it. Take it from me. I saw myself in the mirror yesterday. I try to avoid that. And when my hair grows out a little bit longer like it is right now, I get more compliments on my hair than I get on anything. It amazes me. I noticed that I'm gray. And I looked at myself and I thought, who's that old man looking at me in the mirror? That's me, man. Somebody showed me a picture when I was 22. When I first came to, obviously, I was 32 when I came to this church. I had thick, curly, rich. Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? Them were the good old days, baby. I can buy it today, but I'm afraid. It goes so fast. So fast. Now, here's the problem. Righteousness doesn't just happen because you get old. Okay? So, bear with me, older people. Let me talk to the young people. Young men, if you're given to pornography and to drugs and to the world's way of life when you're 17, you'll still be in it when you're 57. See, I'm running into the 57-year-olds. And I'm running into the 57-year-olds that are still in prison to this stuff. And when I talk to them, they started way back over here. So here's what happened. They thought that there would just be this natural progression in their life and that eventually they would just put away those things. But what they didn't realize is that those sins are tied to their flesh and your flesh just never goes away. So I have ladies who are messed up in their insecurity and they're messed up in their fantasy world and so on. And then they'll begin to tell me back at here at 57, 60 years, they'll begin to tell me when they were 16, 17, and 18. And they're dealing with the same sins they did in their youth. Now, the other part about this is the millennial part. Let's take the 25 to the 40-year-old person. The 25 to the 40-year-old person right now is some of the most frustrated people in the world. It's not the teenagers and the singles that are frustrated yet. And the 57s and all of these over here, they're just done with the battle. I didn't mean that funny. I meant that serious. Okay? The 25 to the 40, here's their problem. When they were young and they came to church, they either were taught wrong or they missed the understanding. And what happened was we substituted church for Christ. So therefore, If you go to church, do this, don't do this, behave like this, do this, so on and so forth. And therefore, don't embarrass me at church, don't do this, make sure you pay attention, here you go. And so mom and dad thought, well, if I can just get my kid to come to church, then everything will work out. Let me tell you something, that doesn't happen. Okay. So what happened was, nobody ever stood up and told them, it's not church that has the power to deliver you. Christ has the power to deliver you. And so we grew up religious, but the problem was the battle inside was raging. And so my flesh is just pulling me in this one direction. And I'm thinking, well, I'm in church. I'm doing all of this. Why am I suffering? And then they had a good day. Then they had a bad day. They would have some success and so on. And so it seemed like they were never delivered or never freed from that. And so it got to the point where they thought, this doesn't work. I'm miserable inside. You keep putting all this pressure on me to do and don't do, and I can't do, and I cannot stop doing. And I'm so what happened is they now have the mentality at 25 to 40 and this frustration that everything they've been taught is a lie. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the truth. That's right. They just weren't taught Jesus. They were taught religion and church activity, and they were taught Christianity, but they were never taught the indwelling Christ that creates me new. So now they're so frustrated because they can't, their behavior is not matching up. So you have the 25 to 40 who's frustrated. You have the older group that's kind of still enslaved to the sins of their youth. And so Solomon is seeing this world that now is trying to find meaning of life apart from God. And Solomon says, man, I can't fix them. They're gone. Which is not true. There's fixed help there. These people are frustrated, so we got to back up the wagon here and let's get to the problem. And the problem is we need understanding in our youth. And he said, so in your youth, sir, submit yourself to the authority of God. In your youth, submit yourself to the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. So Solomon says now, that word sorrow in verse number 10 is inner pain, anxiety, and what was my other word? And vexation. Now, you want to talk about three things that our youth are dealing with right now, or even up into the millennial, it's inner pain, anxiety, and vexation. And Solomon says, those things have got to be removed from your heart. And then he says, not only that, you've got to learn how to put away the evil of your flesh. Put that away. How does he say that? And put away evil from thy flesh. Well, listen to me. The only one that can put away evil from you is Jesus. And there must be the filling of the Spirit of God. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Young people, nobody on the earth can live the Christian life except for Jesus. And Jesus will live that life in and through you. And so the part of the submission to the authority of God is then submission to the filling of the Spirit of God. So let me talk to those of you that are frustrated because you don't think the Lord can deliver you. Or let me talk to you that are still dealing with sins in your 60s that you dealt with when you were a teenager and you've never known that. Listen, the only person that can deliver you is the person of Christ. Do you know him? Solomon says he'll take your anxiety. He'll take your inner pain. He'll take your vexation. He can deliver you from evil. And hallelujah, what a Savior we serve. Let me talk to you about habits. Habits. Build good habits, young people. Good habits of health. Good habits of holiness. It amazes me how fast behavior can become habitual. It amazes me how fast behavior can become habitual. It amazes me how hard it is to break habitual habits. Please. And I don't normally do this, Well, please don't take up smoking, young people. Amen, church?
Amen.
The way that you get entrapped is that by it just being social part, by it just being at a party, somebody's building good habits. That's where mom and dad come into play. Mom and dad should be helping to direct the habits of their kids. My kids know if you got a bad habit equals broken arm. I watch them. I don't let them build bad habits. By the way, good habits develop the same way bad habits do. Work on your habits. Number three, remember now thy Creator. Solomon says you want to enjoy life? To rejoice in thy youth. Be submitted to the authority of God in thy youth. Remove sorrow from thy heart. Put away evil from thy flesh. You do that by being filled with the Spirit of God. Your youth goes so quick. Be right in your youth. Learn how to walk with God in your youth. Learn how to be Spirit-filled in your youth. And then he says, now remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That word remember is not just a good intention or thinking. It carries with it the idea of obedience. It carries with it the idea that you obey the voice of God. That in your youth you obey God. This is the opportunity for you. And this is what Solomon is pushing. Now watch in verse number one. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. What's the next word? While thy evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What's he saying? Do it before you get old. Do it while you have your youth. Do it so you have your whole life. Look, verse number two, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. This is your moment, man. This is your opportunity to be what God would have you to be in your youth. You ought to read verses 3-7. They describe your body when it breaks down. It's a beautiful poetic picture of the body decaying. In the day when the keepers of the house are your arms and your hands, they tremble. Solomon knew what it was. The strong men shall bow themselves. He's talking about your legs and your knees and your shoulders. Those grinders are talking about your teeth. Grinders cease because they are few. You want to see if somebody's old, look at their teeth. Those that look out of the windows be darkened. He's talking about their vision. He goes on in verses 4, 5, and 6. It's a beautiful description. And here's verse number 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. What is Solomon saying? This is what Solomon is saying. Life is a gift. It's meant to be enjoyed. It's going to go fast. Before you know it, you're going to be cutting your teeth, and then you're going to be losing your teeth. And Solomon doesn't want you to regret your life. He wants you to enjoy the plan that God has for your life. And it begins in your youth. Submitted to the authority of God. Submitted to the filling of the Spirit of God. And submitted to the Word of God. Solomon says, if you'll position yourself there, life won't seem vain to you. Life will know victory in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So I have 30 seconds to talk to my old people. How are you doing submitted to the authority of God in your life? Are you 57 years old? And I just picked that number because of Heinz 57. Are you 57 years old or older? And you're dealing with sin that you dealt with when you were 17? Come on, man. God is greater than that. Are you frustrated in your life because you can't measure the drive of that flesh and the understanding of holiness, and you just think somehow that God's insufficient for you, no, my friend, there's no insufficiency in God. You just don't understand the work of the Spirit of God. If you're lacking joy in the Lord, it is not the Lord's fault. You're not doing something right. That's right, Pastor. I got to do something different. No. What you're not doing right is you're not trusting Him. Without Him, we can do nothing. But in Him, I can do all things. We serve a great God. Let's pray.